good crew and even got a few girls in it. That's awesome. If you will take your Bibles and find the book of Jeremiah. We finished up a few weeks ago on a series out of 1 Peter, talking about how we can honor God in difficult days. And we're still kind of walking through that idea and fleshing out how we can live differently and how we can honor God when the culture's against us and when things aren't going well and when even the country that we live in, the community that we live in is not trying to honor God, maybe in the family we're living in isn't trying to honor the Lord. How do I live a life that matters for the kingdom of God when it seems like everything is against the kingdom of God, that everything is making it more difficult and everyone seems to be making it more difficult? Well, we're going to be looking at this passage in the book of Jeremiah. If you remember, it's Old Testament, and you're thinking, okay, well, brother, that's Old Testament. What's that got to do with today? Well, the principles of God don't change. God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we're going to be looking at some principles that are taught in this Old Testament book. Jeremiah is a prophet sent by God to call the people back to him from their wicked ways before he destroys their kingdom, their country, and carries them off into captivity. And so he's reminding them of the principles that he has given them in the law, but he's calling them to relationship. The purpose of the law was to teach them that, hey, you've got to be holy to live in relationship with a holy God, and you've got to be mindful of your sin, and you've got to turn from your wicked ways and submit yourself to the Lord. Well, that's true of us today. Now, thank goodness we have grace, and Jesus has come and been the sacrifice for sin, and we no longer have to sacrifice animals for our sin. And when we submit our heart to Him, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our sin, debt, our guilt is done with. But the principles of God are still in effect in our lives. If we want God to bless us, if we want to see God move in our life, then we have to live a life of obedience. Just because we're under grace does not excuse obedience. God still deserves, demands, and requires obedience from His people. Now, we live in obedience not to earn His love. He's already demonstrated His love in Christ Jesus, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. But a demonstration of our love for Him is that we submit ourselves to His Word. We submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We admit, we acknowledge, hey, I don't have all the answers. I'm sinful. I'm a mess without you. So God, I'm going to try and do life your way as best I can, submitting to your word and living under the authority of the Holy Spirit as He guides me and enables me to do it. So the principles are still the same. The effect or the way we accomplish it is different. But how do we live a life that matters for the kingdom of God? How do we live a life that's faithful to God in times of great rebellion against God? And I think Jeremiah is a good example of this. If you have found the book of Jeremiah, find Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. This is a time in the life of Israel or Judah. When the people are going through the motions of church, they're going through the religious requirements, but their heart is far from God. And Jeremiah is trying to call them back to repentance, call them back to God. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse 19, and he starts talking about something that we have lost sight of, and we've kind of misunderstood the whole purpose of our gatherings on Sunday, okay? He's calling them back to observing the Sabbath and the importance of the Sabbath. And so what I want us to do today is look at the principle that God teaches and how does that apply to us, how does that apply to our Sunday, and what's the significance of the Sabbath, okay? And then help us to understand that it's in the relationship we have with God that transforms our behavior, transforms our heart, transforms our lives, and makes us useful for the kingdom. Okay, so if you would stand with me, we're going to begin in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 19, and we're going to read down through verse 27. Then we're going to see what God has to say to us. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the public gate through which the kings of Judah come in and go out, as well as all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem who come in through these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed for yourselves, and do not carry any load on the Sabbath day, or bring anything in through the gates of Jerusalem. You should not bring a load out of your house on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I've commanded your forefathers. Yet they did not listen nor incline their ear, but stiffened their necks in order not to listen or take correction. But it will come about, if you listen attentive to me, declares the Lord, to bring no load in through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but to keep it the Sabbath day holy by doing no work on it. Then there will come in through the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots on horses, and they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city will be inhabited forever. They will come in from the cities of Judah and from the environs of Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lower land, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, grain offerings, and incense, and bring sacrifice of thanksgiving to the house of the Lord. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy by not carrying a load or coming in through the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem and not be quenched. God, I pray today that you would open my heart and my mind to the words that you'd have me to say. God, that you would anoint my speech. God, that I would say only what you want me to say. That I would help us understand what your word is calling us to. And God, I pray that you would make application to our lives and our day-to-day walk with you. Help us to see the significance of worship. And Lord, I pray that you would give us an extra portion of your grace. God, we would leave this place different, with a whole different focus. God, that we would not be stiff-necked, but God, we would bow down to you. And Lord, we would love you and honor you as you deserve, because of who you are and what you have done in taking away the guilt of our sin. God, we do love you, and we do want to honor you with our lives. So meet with us today, transform us today, teach us today, and use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jeremiah is, again, calling the people back to God, calling them to repentance, and he focuses in. God tells him to go and stand in the gate where the kings come in and out from the city, but not just the gate where the kings come in and out, but where all the gates, where all the people are coming in, and you declare to them and tell them to start honoring the Sabbath day. Now, what's the importance of the Sabbath day? What did it mean back then to keep the Sabbath? Well, if you remember in Exodus chapter 20, when you get the Ten Commandments, it's one of the top five. You shall not do any work. Or you shall work for 6 days, but on the Sabbath day you will be a day of rest and you'll keep it holy. So it's one of the Ten Commandments that the people should take a Sabbath every seventh day. Now, what is the significance of the Sabbath? Is it just the fact that we're not supposed to work, that we're just supposed to sit around and rest our bodies? That is part of it. Rest for the body. We're to work 6 days and our body needs rest. Our mind needs rest. But when he's talking about the Sabbath, the purpose of the Sabbath was what? It wasn't just about resting the body. It was about worshiping God. It was about refocusing from the troubles of the week, the difficulties of the week, the pressures of the week, the sin of the week. And every seventh day we're to stop and we're to begin to focus on our relationship with the Lord. The purpose of the Sabbath was so that the people of God would focus on the person of God, the presence of God, the hope of God, the promises of God, and it would be a reconnection with their relationship with this God that they serve. that has called them out of bondage, that's called them out of Egypt, that has established them as a nation, that has blessed them so much. God knew, as humans, we're so busy and we can get so caught up in the things of the day that we begin to forget about Him and we begin to neglect Him. So He said, on the seventh day, you need to set aside a day where you don't do work, you don't do things outside the house, you are to focus this time on your relationship with Me. It was a time when the dad would sit down with the family and they would talk about the things of God. They would recite the things of God. They would remind the children of the things that God has done in their lives. And the people would recite and recount the Torah and the Word of God. And they would go to church. They'd sacrifice. But it was a time where they would focus on their relationship with God. God's grace, God's mercy, God's holiness, their sinfulness and their need for forgiveness. So the Sabbath was all about relationship with a holy God. And church, for us today, Sundays, when we gather together, it's a time where we need to put away the things of the world. We've got 6 days to work. And we need to come together to worship God, to study the Word of God together, be reminded of the holiness of God, to be reminded of the grace and the mercy of God, to be reminded of the plan and the purpose of God, and to be reminded of our sin and our need for forgiveness. To focus on that relationship with this holy God who has called us to be His children. So just as important as it was to the Old Testament and the keeping of the law and the Ten Commandments, church, it's still important for us. We need to focus on our relationship with the Lord, because it's in that relationship with the Lord that we are transformed, that we are able to experience the blessings of God that He wants to give us, that we are able to experience the power of God that He wants to demonstrate in and through us. It's in that relationship with God that we experience the transformation of our heart and our mind by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. It's where we encourage each other as brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing struggles today, who are facing hurts today, who are facing disappointments today, who are facing temptations today, where we can come together and collectively and individually, we can focus on the holiness of God, the grace and the mercy of God, the person of God, the salvation of God, the power of God, the forgiveness of God. And so, God is calling them back. They had forgotten the Sabbath. It just became another day. It was another day where they did business. It was another day where they just did work like they've always done. And they weren't focusing on their relationship with the Lord. And when you don't focus on your relationship with the Lord, guess what? It doesn't make much difference in your life. So God is telling Jeremiah to go and stand in the gate. Go where everybody comes. Go where the kings come in and out. Go where the people come in and out, and call each one of them. Not just the city, not just the government, not just the people at large, but each individual person. Call them back to the relationship with their God. And he says, you go and you stand, you say to them, listen to the word of the Lord, kings of Judah, this is verse 20, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who come in through these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed for yourselves and do not carry any load on the Sabbath day or bring anything in through the gates of Jerusalem. You shall not bring a load out of your house on the Sabbath day or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I commanded your forefathers. So it wasn't just that you don't do any work. The problem is that you guys have forgotten this relationship. You're neglecting your relationship with the Lord, and you're just focusing on doing life and getting ahead. Hey, it's another day to make a dollar. It's another day to get something done. You know, I don't have to go to work this today, so I can get things done around the house. I can take care of what I need to do here, and I'm just working like crazy around here and not giving God any focus, not giving God any attention, not giving God any worship. And what happens when we neglect our relationship with the Lord, our focus, our life becomes entangled with the things of the world. Temptation becomes stronger. We stop doing what we know we're supposed to be doing. We neglect to live for God, and we begin to live for ourselves. That was the whole problem in Jerusalem. They weren't living for God anymore. They were living for themselves. They were just worried about making money. They were just worried about getting done what they wanted to get done, rather than taking time to just sit down at the feet of the Father, to focus on His Word, to focus on His grace, to focus on His holiness, and to focus on our sinfulness and our need for forgiveness and God's great desire to forgive. See, all of that is supposed to happen when we worship God. All of that is supposed to happen when we gather in this place. It's not about just coming to church, okay? It's not about just coming to this location. It's about coming here to focus for just a little while on the things of God. And hopefully, for the rest of the day, to focus on what we talk about or what you study in Sunday school or what you sang about in church. But the whole day is supposed to be about our relationship with the Lord. Not just 2 hours on Sunday morning, not just an hour on Sunday morning, not just 3 hours on Sunday where you come Sunday school, Sunday worship in the morning and evening worship in the evening, but the whole day. When's the last time that you left this place and for the rest of the day you thought about, you meditated on, you prayed about what God spoke to you in these few moments? I venture to say probably 99% of us, and at times, I'm just going to be honest as your pastor, sometimes I walk out these doors and I forget all about the sermon I just preached. But most of the time, we leave here, and by the time we get home and we get through preparing lunch and we sit down to eat, if anybody asked, you probably couldn't tell what the sermon was about. Sometimes I couldn't. Because we're all so busy and caught up in the things of this world, we've forgotten what worship is about. It's not about a few minutes gathered together. It's about a day of focusing on God. It's because in that relationship, it's where our lives are transformed. So He was calling them not just to sacrifice, not to come to the temple, but to focus on the relationship with God, because it's in the relationship they have with this holy God, in this relationship that He has established through covenant with them, is where their lives are transformed, and their community is transformed, their city is transformed, their country is transformed, and the world is transformed, because more and more people see the difference God makes in the lives of His people. You know why the church looks so much like the world? I'm not talking about the service that we do here. I'm not talking about the music. I'm not talking about the statue or the way the church is put together, the governance. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people. The church is the people. The church is you and I. You know why the church looks so much like the world? Is because we've neglected our time with the Lord. We've neglected our worship of the Lord. Jeremiah, by the unction of God and the Holy Spirit in him, is telling him, look, come back to your relationship with the Lord, because that's where your lives are transformed. It's in that relationship that God demonstrates His power to change a life and to change a heart, to change a city and to change a nation. It's in that relationship with Him, this holy God, that the world takes notice to the difference He makes in the lives of His people. And when we neglect the relationship, just like their forefathers had done, they were still going to the temple. They were still sacrificing, but they had stopped relational interaction with God. They were just going through the motions. And so they became stiff-necked. And the principle of God is when you don't focus on the relationship, then the world is going to start taking over your attitude, your heart, your behavior, and you're not going to be any different than anybody else. He says, but if you will listen to me, verse 24, But it will come about if you listen attentively to me. Not just hear me, but if you listen attentively. Listen with the intention of obedience. Listen to the details because I want to get everything right. Listen intentively. Now I know I have not mastered the 25-minute sermon. And I know sometimes you're sitting there and you just kind of zone out. It's been 20, 30 minutes, 35 minutes. But listening is an art. Listening is intentional. God says if you will listen attentively, that means actively, making yourself listen. Listen to details. Listen for that still small voice. Listen for what I'm trying to say to your spirit through my word. Listen to how I want you to live the rest of the days according to what I'm saying here. He says, if you will listen attentively, declares the Lord, to bring no load. Okay, here again, he's talking about not necessarily the work is the problem. It's the fact that you're not listening to me. You're not listening attentive to me. You're not focused on me this day. It's just like any other day. Man, when we let Sunday, when we let our time of worship become like any other day, we're in trouble. When there's no difference in our Sunday and our Monday, there's no difference in our Sunday and our Wednesday or Saturday, we're setting ourselves up for failure. Because it's the worship of God, the focusing on the relationship where transformation takes place. He says, but if you will focus on your relationship with me by not bringing a load through the gates, don't let it be like any other day. He says, then there will come in through the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding on chariots and horses, and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the city will be inhabited forever. There will come from the cities of Judah, and from the environs or the areas around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, far away, from the lowlands of the hill country, far away, from the Negev, even further away, and bring burnt offerings. People will come here to worship God because they will sense God. They will know God is here. And people will be drawn to God because you are living in relationship with Him. Now, many times we'll ask, well, what does it matter? I'm just one person. What does it matter if I come to church today? What does it matter if I show up? What does it matter if I miss? What does it matter if I'm not really on fire for God anymore? You know, I'm not a bad person. Notice what happens. He said, you go tell the king, but don't just tell the king and the princes. You declare to each person that you matter and your relationship with God matters. And if you will focus on your relationship with God and you will submit yourself to His Word and you will grow in your relationship with God, it will have an impact throughout the whole kingdom. Too often we think, well, I'm just one little speck. I'm just one person in the church. I'm just a young person. I'm just a youth. You know, I'm older and you know, I ain't got to. Your relationship with God matters to the kingdom of God. Your relationship with God matters to your family. You can impact the world if you will focus on your relationship with the Lord and make it a priority so that when He transforms your life, the people around you will take notice, and then the people around them will take notice, and God can do amazing things through you and your little life because the power and the presence of God is demonstrated in it. It's not about you and what you can do. It's about what God can do in you and through you that matters. So we said, tell each individual person they need to honor God. They need to focus on their relationship from the king to the homeless. If they will focus on their relationship with the Lord, they can have great impact on the world. And church, we're just a small congregation. We're not anything big. You start comparing us to some other churches around here. You look at First West or Cedar Crest or some of these other larger churches, and you think, man, well, we're just a few people. What difference can we make? Absolutely nothing, unless we focus on our relationship with the Lord. when we will worship God and we will make our relationship with God a priority and not let Sundays be like any other day, not let our relationship with God slip, but it be the focus of our life. And we worship Him not just here, but we worship Him as we meditate on His Word, as we study His Word individually, as we grow personally in our relationship with the Lord. There is no telling what God can do around the world through this little bitty church if you and I and we will focus on God and our relationship with Him. It will have impacts beyond what you can imagine. So God is calling them back. God is calling them back to relationship. God is calling each individual person back to their relationship with God. And then He tells a parable. He tells an example. And oftentimes we read this, but we take it out of context. So we've got to look at it in the context, beginning in chapter 18, the context of the story or the parable of the potter. It says, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my word to you. So he went down to where the potter makes pots. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay spoiled in his hands of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. At one moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot or to pull it down or to destroy it. If the nation against which I spoke turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity which I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build it up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight and does not obey my voice, then I will think better of the good which I had promised to bless it. So God says, look, you know this. You know I'm sovereign. You know I can decide to tear down a nation because they're doing evil. Jerusalem, Israel, I've been warning you. And you know it's in my power to destroy you. But just like the potter is able to take this clay that he was making and fashioning for one thing and changes his mind and fashions it into something else, I can relent from destroying a nation if you'll relent from your evil. If you'll focus on your relationship with me, just because I've said I'm going to destroy you, if you'll repent and come back, I'll forgive and I will bless instead of destroy. Christian, you know, in our lives, even as a child of God, the principles of God still matter. You know, we don't obey God so that God will bless us, but the principle of God is if we will obey Him, He'll bless us. And if we don't live in obedience to God's Word, if we're doing things we know we're not supposed to be doing, if we're living a life that is against God's Word, even though we're a child of God, we're hard-headed, and I've decided this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to let grace cover it. You know, God still lets the consequences of our decisions happen in this life. You know, you can live against God's Word in an area of your life, and the consequences of that sin are still going to happen in this life. But when we repent and turn away from our evil, then we experience the blessing of God. And that's exactly what He's telling Israel here when He uses this parable of the potter, where He tends him to this potter's house and he's making one thing, he changes it. He says, just like that, I can pronounce destruction on Jerusalem. If you'll repent, I can restore. I can forgive. Or I can announce blessing just like I did from the beginning. But if you do evil, I'll let those consequences of evil take over your life. Look at his heart. Verse 11. So then, if this is true, since this is true, since I have it in my power to bless or to curse, so now then speak to the men of Judah against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning calamity against you, devising a plan against you. O turn back, each one of you, He didn't call the whole country. He didn't call the whole city. He said each person must repent. Church, the church cannot do, the church will not do what you and I personally will not and cannot do. Because the church is us. Oh, turn back each one of you from his evil way and reform your ways and your deeds. But they'll say it's hopeless. For we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Now, those aren't actually words you think anybody would say, is it? God, you know, most people you talk about, God wants to forgive you of your sins. He says, nah, I'm good with just, I just want to keep sinning, you know. I don't want God's forgiveness. I'm looking forward to going to hell. I hadn't heard many people say that. I've heard a couple that say, and resign to the fact, yeah, I'm going. All my friends are going to be there. It'll be, you know, be what it'll be. But what he's saying here is God's calling them to repentance, and he's saying it's not that they actually said these words, but their actions speak louder than their words. It's not worth it. It's not worth all the trouble of honoring God. It's not worth all the trouble of denying myself and taking my cross daily and following. It's not worth all that. You know, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to keep my evil ways and keep rejecting God. God's call to repentance. His heart is to forgive. But until we're ready, willing to submit our lives to him, then he will not forgive. God is love, but he leaves us the choice to choose. And even as a Christian, we can reject what we know God wants us to do, but understand we're going to experience the consequences of that rejection. We need to be careful. And if we want to live a life that matters for the kingdom, if we want to live a life where we can face the troubles of this world and still live in holiness, face the temptations of this world and overcome them through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we must focus on a relationship with God. And a lot of people say, I can worship on a deer stand. Yeah, in theory. But you're not going to. You'll be watching for deer. Cussing because you missed him. I can worship God on a lake, in theory. But you're not going to. You're going to be mad because you missed that big one. You're going to be focused on catching him. True, you can worship God anywhere, but the reality is you're not going to. We need to make sure we're focused on the relationship with our God. Because in that relationship, our lives are transformed. In that relationship, the power of God is demonstrated. In that relationship, God can help others see that he is real and he makes a radical difference in the lives of his people. That's the whole purpose of worship. Because he's worthy and he wants us to make him known to the world. Maybe you're here today and you've been neglecting your relationship with the Lord. Maybe this is the first time you've been in church in a while. Maybe it's something you just do when you got nothing better to do. And it's not about coming to church. It's about being challenged, being encouraged, being transformed by the power of God through his word, the presence of his Holy Spirit. It's about encouraging others in their walk with the Lord. It's about speaking truth into their lives and encouragement and help. It's about demonstrating what God has done in your life and the difference he's made. Paul says we're all members of the same body. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one's missing, we're all missing out. You matter. Let's focus on a relationship. But remember, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, there's only one way to experience the relationship with a holy God. To have your sins forgiven, and that's only through Jesus Christ. Admit you're a sinner. Submit your heart, your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then take up your cross daily. Follow him for the rest of your days. Let's stand.